This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. I'm laughing already. We are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts, and as of this time of recording, it's still the home of your champions. Ben, how was your bank holiday weekend?
Duty, stop laughing. Hello, Duty. Get the phrase out there. Look, there's a lot of words to sum it up. I'll just go with amazing. I'm summing it up in one. And that doesn't do it justice whatsoever, because again, it's smiling from ear to ear. And like, sometimes I'll be walking around and then I remember it happening. Then I just laugh to myself maniacally.
I put this out on Twitter the day after. I just couldn't stop laughing. I'd be sitting on the chair like with my kids or whatever, and I just burst into laughter at the thoughts of Kerr McEnroy just thunder bastard went in from like 30 odd yards just for the sake of it. The funniest part of it was the draw was enough. That's what makes it all the funnier. Look, we'll go into it in a bit more detail shortly. We'll obviously touch on the disappointment in North Macedonia on Thursday. There's other kind of club housekeeping to get through. We'll try to preview the Pats game.
It doesn't.
And actually, just while I think of it, it's probably a good time to mention. So, obviously, last league game on Saturday, we do still have the small issue of Europe to contend with after that. So, Ben, I spoke to the powers that be, and we reckon the best option is to go every second week. So, basically, we'll react to the games, rather than try to preview them, which is just a big bag of shite, really. We'll hop on. It'll obviously be a slightly shorter pod than what we're used to, but we'll keep the train rolling until Christmas time. Maybe after Christmas. You never know. Stranger things have happened in the last couple of years. Now, that's the plan going forward. Look, we're on Europe, Ben. Let's go there. Let's get it out of the way. Let's get the negative stuff out of the way now. Very winnable game, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Like, there's no point in saying it wasn't. It was a winnable game. We went there, I thought we really imposed our style of play, our game. Like, look, you're never looking for excuses. Big pitch, obviously you're contending with conditions. But it was one that, you know, quietly I said it to yourself, you probably said, a lot of people kind of put it down as maybe 3 points, and 3 points are never guaranteed in Europe, so maybe that wasn't the correct way of thinking. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it did look winnable. We looked quite comfortable in the game, which is, I suppose, one of the more frustrating aspects of the result, is when you come away and you just don't look like you should be beaten, because you probably shouldn't have. Like, Vest didn't have much to do. Like, we hit the post. We had the better chances in the game, and it's just, like, we spoke about it before. I think the gaffer said it a few times. It's just those fine margins in Europe, isn't it?
100%. They had one shot on target, other than, obviously, the OG. So, I don't know whether you listen to Paddy Barra, who, of course, in the, what do they call themselves? The, PFAI Team of the Year?
My friend's getting votes for stuff. I don't know what they call themselves. Yeah. Look.
Massive done to Paddy. He obviously found his way into the team of the year. Paddy has been just
a rock.
I don't think we win the league last year without Paddy, but we definitely don't, actually. Is definitely understating it. So well deserved for Pat. I don't know, did you listen to him on
I didn't get the chance to listen to it yet. I'm a bit behind this week.
Yeah, he spoke brilliantly. When you take that goal in isolation, right, You obviously look at Milan gives away the corner when probably we didn't need to. Now, having watched it back, the TV cameras, you can hear him being told he has time. But I would reckon my guess would be he had already decided he was going to clear it. And then I think when he was getting the calls that he had time, just the wires got crossed. Obviously, give away the corner. I think you have to separate the two incidents. I think Milan giving away the corner is one thing, but you've still got the corner to deal with. So there's no point crying over the spilt milk at that point. But Paddy broke it down in a couple of ways. So this is the type of stuff, and it's why I love Pat, because he doesn't just give you the cookie cutter shite. When he talks, like, he speaks to you properly. It's why he's always a good post-match interview as well, because he'll give you, like, talks to you properly. He doesn't just fill you with shite. Yeah, he speaks like a normal person. And he was saying that the chaos, basically, that Boydie going off injured caused. Obviously, we'd no subs left to use, so we ended up playing with 10 men. And he basically broke it down by saying, don't know whether we should have went this far into detail, but sure, look, we've only one game left, so probably won't matter going forward. But we do two players who are basically free headers in the box, defending corners. You have Boydie and John Martin, generally would be the two. And obviously, without Boydie, they had to shuffle John Martin forward one. They had to get Evan Caffrey in to do what would have been John Martin's job. And like, that's a lot of change, you know, around the set piece. And then obviously, we could have cleared...
Isn't it?
Yeah, but something you don't think of. You just think, like, right, the corners just look after themselves. But even trying to solve that issue among the chaos, like, we see it, Ben, we're usually lucky enough to work quite close to the dugout. Like, Paul Skinner and Davey Mack, it's not easy to get things that organised so quickly. So that would have been part of it. And then, look, we have a chance to clear it, don't clear it properly. Pat made an interesting point. Now, when I seen the goal, my first thing was, oh, Pat, like, he had dropped off an awful lot. But he basically said, now look, is it a bit of Pat maybe covering himself? Possibly, which he's more than entitled to do. But he kind of said he was expecting everyone else to be a bit deeper. He felt everyone went too high, which is just not something I would have even considered. I was kind of looking at it going, ah, Pat, you dropped off. But his thinking was the ball's only going to go one place, so everyone should have dropped off to be there to deal with it. Look, it's one of them goals, isn't it? It's a poxy one. I don't think it's the same type of poxy as we've given away, though, this year.
We gave away poxier ones a few days later.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, very, very true. But it's just so late in the game. It's such a killer. Now, I won't lie, Ben, we obviously didn't travel to the game. That moment when Leicester Energy goal went in, I kind of said, oh God, I'm glad I'm not there. Coming home on that flight, it had all the potential to be very grim. I worried going into Sunday then what the kind of the backlash of the heartbreak, if you want to call it that, on Thursday. But
see, I didn't, very weirdly, and I don't want to, sorry for jumping in, but it's just last time and this again, it's just little things, I suppose, that, like, obviously you'll know, Doody, when you're interviewing the gaffer, like, stuff he'll say on a regular will kind of pop into your head every now and then. And one thing he said, I think it was after it was one of the European games in the summer, it was about turning your heart into something for the next game, and yet heartbreak, hurt, you have it now, use it, let it fuel you, turn it into hunger, turn it into something. And I was like, those lads, those staff, the fans, everyone coming home will obviously not be happy. There's a lot of hurt there. And I just felt, I don't know, like, even like you texting the group during the day, and you're like, oh no, the omens are bad, because you're not one to panic at all. And I said, we will be fine. Do not worry.
Did I say that?
You did. You can go back and check. I promise you now, you did, and I told you it would be grand. I had full faith.
Was this the day of the European game?
No. This is for Bows. Sorry.
Jeez, look, yeah, that's very negative on me. Jesus, that's bad. Well, look how that ended up anyway.
I believe I go back and find it, but you said oh no, the omens are bad. Never fear, we will be grand, is what I replied with.
Jesus, yeah, that's very negative out of me. Not usually.
It was early in the morning, so like,
well, that's allowed, yeah, yeah.
I imagine you had just woken up, so yeah. You actually,
It was because you weren't going to make the game. That was why I said the omens were bad, not because of Thursday.
Yeah, no, not because of Thursday.
Well, Ben, but I'm glad you missed the game in hindsight. Go on, sorry.
I just knew based on, it just kept sticking in my head after the game, coming like in the build-up, the balls. Grand, yeah, there's hurt there, there's heartbreak there, turn it into something. I was like, we're going to turn it into something. Didn't know we'd turn it into something so good, but...
You had to suffer through that grim existence, Ben, of watching the Reds on the telly. You had to do it twice within a couple of days. That pesky life outside of Shelburne getting in the way happens to the best of us. But when we went 2-0 down as a result of two pony goals to give away, like, call it for what it is, were you down and out? Were you saying, I cannot believe this, cannot believe what we've done here? Or were you...
No, I wasn't. Weirdly enough, I was like, this is poxy. Those goals are shit. We should not be giving those kind of goals away. But they cannot do anything else. Like, Bowes cannot do anything. They cannot play football against us for some reason. And I was like, if we just... we get something before halftime. I thought there was a response there. I thought John Martin does wonderful, wonderful work.
That was the feeling, you know, where we have to watch the game from in Dalymount, in the cow shed down at the corner flag. But there was a real feeling down there of just score one, just get one back. One back here and we'll be fine. And like, that was a kind of a resounding opinion. Like, everyone was saying the exact same thing.
For me, and I don't know if you saw the same view, but like, when you watch Bowes play us, like when they were playing us that game, when they do get their two goals, and they're essentially identical goals, like it's copy and paste. They've undone us with set pieces before. It's kind of what they're known for against us. But they go out with a 2-0 lead at home and they don't try and win the game. They just try not to lose it.
Yeah, that's nail on the head stuff. Because for me, we looked very vulnerable in that first half. Every set piece, every kind of cross into the box they got, we looked off it. And yeah, I asked John Martin this after the game. Was it? Did he feel it was like a knock-on from Thursday? Did it just kind of take us a while to, you know, get up to the game? And John... again, another very honest interview, which we've seen that one before, Ben, but he hesitated a bit. He didn't give the usual, no, it was nothing to do with that. He did kind of say, well, maybe, it just took us a while, but they didn't smell the blood. They really didn't.
I'd say they did, but they're just too afraid to do anything. It's like,
I think they, when they got the second one, I think they thought they were home and host. I think they thought, these boys only back from Macedonia after a late heartbreak. We're gone 2-0 up here. This is done. They're not going to do anything.
I just felt like at the end of the day, at the end of that game, we were still champions of Ireland. They didn't really show us that kind of respect. We're also a team that had just won 4 league games on the bounce. Like, they don't know what it was. It was a real weird vibe from obviously where I was. I was like, they're just not treating us with any kind of respect here. They've got their two sucker punches and they're happy to sit off. And that was their undoing in the end.
Let's talk Dickie. Because all through that first half, like, we were a bit limp. You know, we weren't at it for half an hour of the game, at least, anyway. Dickie was constantly just a little spark. It was just constantly like, he'd have a little dribble, he'd he'd pick a little pass, he'd find something that just kind of kept us
taking over.
Like, yeah, just kind of
real energy about his game. And I know that's obviously people like to say that's a buzzword, but there is, like, he's kind of like a bit. Someone said it to me before the game, he's running around like a blue bottle, where he's just kind of buzzing here and there. And actually, if fitting enough.
It's pretty accurate, to be fair.
Yeah, enough kind of display from him in Daily Mount. He's just kind of popping up here and there, a little bit of link up play. Like, he's very direct, like, you know what you're going to get from him. And it is great to have.
Yeah, he just gives something totally different. It's not just the pace he has, obviously. He's very direct. I think he just strikes me as a pain in the arse, like, to play against, I'd say, because even if his delivery or whatever it is isn't at its best, he's still always just going at you. He sticks fullbacks on the back foot all the time, I find. And we did get a comment here. Where is it now? Lucas O'Donn said, "What could have been if Kelly was fit all year? He's totally gone under the radar. His assist for John Martin was class." It's a fair point, because Dickie has changed. He's had a big impact in every single game he's played.
But it's just about the versatility as well. Like, you forget, like, when he fills in at wing back, that's not a natural position for him. That's something that he's obviously learned through his course of being here, and he doesn't look out of place by any means. He's done really, really well in that role when he plays further forward. Again, as you said, he kind of has people second guessing on the back foot. They're kind of trying to drive him wide, but he nearly prefers that. So it's tricky to know what to do with him. He does offer us an awful, awful lot. I think it's great to have him back now, when we did have him. And look, hopefully he can just push on now.
Another one who probably, you couldn't say he goes under the radar with Shells anymore, with Shells people. But John Martin, another one who, even if he's not at his best football-wise, and I'm not saying he wasn't at his best Sunday, because he was very, very good, but a massive pain in the arse, just gives a bit of an energy. Like, I found, you're obviously sitting around players who aren't involved in the game, and he's giving them energy even. John, he just, like, if he's not going to win a header, he'll junter the defender instead. You know, he'll just do something.
And but I will jump in here, because I don't know if you saw, there was on Twitter, I can't think of the name, I will have to get the name. One of the fellas does some of the stats, Niall. I'll get his name. I will get his name by the end. But I was looking at his stuff. He had a lot of stuff up on John Martin, and I was looking at this. And as you say, like, John does a lot of that grunt work. Like, he does a lot of running. You do a lot of pressing. But I didn't realize kind of how efficient and lethal he is inside the box. Like, 7 goals from 27 shots.
This is what I'm saying about, I think he kind of goes under the radar a bit. Like, I don't think people.
But 25 of those 27 shots are inside the box.
Yeah, like, that's impressive. Ben, he 2 seconds. Sorry, hang on, just 1 sec. Another one, Ben, probably not going to get massive credit. Obviously, look, it's Kerr and Harry Wood's night, but Evan Caffrey coming in into that midfield role where he hasn't obviously played since. Jeez, you want to have some memory to remember the last time Evan Caffrey played centre midfield for the Reds, but again, he was just effective, I think.
Yeah, just did what Evan does, really, when he comes in. Evan's one of those that anytime he's come in, whatever role he's asked to do, get the head down and do it. I don't think he really cares where he is in the pitch, as long as he's on the pitch and can affect the game in some way. And he brings that kind of tenacity to the midfield, where he's just, he can on the ball, he'll press, he looks like he might lose the ball as well sometimes. And then
yeah, he does, yeah.
He might work his way out of trouble, and it's like, how has he come away with the ball there?
He has that knack, doesn't he? He wins those little ricochets, and he just, I don't know whether he uses his body really well or what it is, but he does just have that kind of, same thing Harry has, he just, you expect him to lose it under his feet, and he manages to dig it out. Right. Two changes at half time is always a risk, might be the wrong word, but you're kind of, if it doesn't go well, you can look silly as a manager. Like, if we go on to lose that game 3-0 or whatever, people will probably look and say, oh, well, you know, we panicked at half time, blah, blah, blah. Those two changes that the manager made, JJ and Lewis obviously were taken out. And, like, in came Kerr and Milan. I mean, the two changes win us the game. Milan was so effective down the right. And Kerr, I mean, he was only on the pitch and he battered someone in a tackle. Can't remember who it was. But again, and it feels like we're starting to say this all the time, massive, massive credit is owed to Joey O'Brien for the changes, surely.
Yeah, but I think that's one thing. If you look at the course of the season since the manager's come in, he's been really, really good at kind of spotting when there needs to be a change. I think subs is one thing he hasn't really got wrong. Look, touch wood, but himself and the staff, like they kind of know when to freshen up a game, where to freshen up a game, and I just think that really, really helped us. Like, imagine having the quality of a Kerr to come in and then Milan to come in. Like, it's amazing to have. Obviously, you're just looking at rotation, travel. There's a lot that goes into it. Like, people are looking to get minutes. I think that's maybe why they don't start the game, but the change wins the game. And a lot of the time over the course of the season, when the gaffer has decided to make changes, they've been really important.
The other thing that's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, I certainly haven't seen it mentioned anywhere, and it should be mentioned, is the quality of Kerr's cross for Harry's goal. I think it's Dawson Devoy. The cross is like inches above Dawson's head. It's like the perfect cross over the head, and Harry Wood with the headed finish, Ben. not something I would have had on the bingo card, but.
Well, to be fair, he takes it really well.
Oh, he does. Unbelievable. Now, whether he was trying to get it back across the goal or whether he was aiming for that corner, I mean, who gives a shit, really? But the celebration, Ben, like, there's a part of me that thinks for his own safety, he didn't go to the home end. I think he's learned that one before. So he went, gave it to the dugout, to the home dugout, and then the jersey was off. Shades of, was it Manuel Adebayor did it for Arsenal, where he fucking, or for City, against Arsenal, ran like the length of the pitch to celebrate. Well, I know the other one was to rub it in, but this one to celebrate. Like, that alone was, like, moment of the season stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just, you see it happen, you see him run, and I was like, where is he going in the jersey? And he's sprinting at full pelt. Yeah. I'm like, he's still going. Look at him go.
Too far as Gump.
It's definitely up there. But I will say, he was old one. The goal for him was coming. I don't know if you remember. I think it was around the 60-odd minute. He fires a shot off. And the post keeper just gets an arm to it somehow.
That was an unbelievable save.
Yeah. Looks like it's about to sail in. You're like, the goal was coming, but I will say, for Kerr especially, like, you've mentioned the quality of the goal. Absolutely, it's there, because he gets that ball, he takes a touch, he looks up, and then he puts it in. Like, the timing of the game, like, it's the 87th minute. I'd say there's a lot of people that were just screaming, get the fucking ball in the box. But that little bit of composure to just have to look up, look for his runner, see who's in there. And again, it's an inch-perfect pass. But I just think we're starting to see the best of Kerr, and that's scary, because Kerr was already unbelievably good.
He was. The thing about that cross, that's a poxy place to cross a ball from. Like, it has to be inch perfect when you're in that kind of...
Yeah, they're going into the keeper's hands or over everyone.
Exactly, yeah. Like, it has to be to the inch, and it was. It was unbelievable. Oh, just the scene, like, those scenes alone were just magic. And then, Kerr just decides, oh, fuck this. I'm going to swing a leg at this one. And he had a similar one earlier in the game that he kind of shanked and it went harmlessly wide.
Dude, I'll give you one guess. What do you think I shouted just before he was about to take that shot?
Whack!
Yes!
But, like...
I rolled the couch. I was, like, sitting there. I was like, what?
What was he doing? Like, at that stage, my thing was, get it and fucking knock it into the corner flag or something. Just
Who cares?
Oh, hey. The audacity to just swing the leg at that was... Oh, and then, look, there's a bit of contention there. I think it takes a deflection off a certain centre-forward who was audibly trying to claim it in the post-match scenes. So I don't know how that one went down in the end. But what this is where, and I'd love to, I think Kerr might be on my list as the next sit-down. I'd love to sit down with Kerr. And actually, may address that one now as well. Somebody else did ask about how good Paddy was on LOI Central, and basically it was Conal Mack said, Paddy Barrett was excellent on LOI Central. Any plans for some of the players in the pod again? Absolutely. We would love to have the players all the time. This year was just a bit of a weird one because you'd obviously...
there's a lot of football going on.
Yeah, and it was... there was a lot of tension around the place, I think, as well, kind of earlier in the season, weren't playing all particularly well, and it's hard to ask players to come on and be lighthearted and have a laugh when maybe things aren't going great on the pitch.
When you do get to their free time, that is their free time.
Yeah, of course.
People that you'd want to hear from aren't in Dublin. So a lot of them go home. So it did just fall a bit awkwardly, but look, the plans are there. We really enjoy when we can do sit-down interviews. Bit harsh to call them interviews. We're not exactly journalistic dynamite, but
a chat.
Yeah.
A little chat. What I was getting at there with Kerr, I want to ask him, when you hit that and it ends up in the net, do you think to yourself, I'm going to give it to that home crowd? Or do you just take off running and all of a sudden you've ended up, oh shit, I'm in front of about 3,000 people here. And I'm going to go whole hog, try to knee slide and take a lump out of pitch instead. But I want to know, is it predetermined? Is it a thing where he's saying, if I score, they're getting it?
That's surely pure adrenaline, but we won't know till we get him on.
Yes, 100%. Look, pelted with all sorts of stuff. Chuck in particular seemed to really enjoy those celebrations as well. I don't know whether... I'm sure in that kind of wing-back, full-back position, I know he wasn't over that side in this particular game, but I'm sure he's gotten pelters down there before, so unless it's a bit of that, but Chuck loved it. Chuck was giving it large. Big time.
That's the scouse in him.
Probably is. But just pandemonium is the only word I could use. Again, as I say, we were sitting in that cow shed, and I mean...
That cow shed is never a great spot to watch a game.
Oh, it's horrible. You can't see a thing.
You can just see how hilly the pitch is and how hairy it is most weeks.
All I could see was Kerr McEnroy's shot bulging into the net. And it just did carnage that ensued. But even the post-match scenes as well. And I know Queer got it on video. And it was just magical. It really was. I was talking to my brother not long after the game finished. He said he reckons that's his best Shells away end kind of moment, other than Derry, of course. But it was just against them. They were so full of it. So full of it. They thought they were getting nicked third. I don't think so.
Imagine you turn around after a decent run. Europe is essentially on the cards for you. You've given your manager and his staff long-term deals.
And one of those men who you've given the long-term deal to is suspended. Can't even be in the dugout to affect the game, which made it quite funny. But I mean, it's a bad atmosphere in that ground. Really, really bad.
Well, I heard their Player of the Year awards went well after the game.
Oh, they had to cancel the Player of the Year awards. I know some of the players were getting a bit of jip off people, in the stand after. They were booed off. basically, but they were being booed before that even. I don't know who it was. Somebody down their left side went to take a throw in front of the Jody after we'd, was it after we'd equalised, I think? And, like, he got relentlessly booed for, no one knows ones where the fullback has it in his hand and there's nowhere for him to throw it. Like, there's nothing he can do, but the crowd will get on his back anyway. One of them, but, like, there's proper vitriol in it. Like, it's, they're really, really, they dislike a lot of those players. Like, it's hilarious stuff. I mean, it made for great entertainment.
I mean, who would have thought that after all this season, after everything they've been through, that the Moose wouldn't even be their most hated player?
Oh, God, yeah. Who would have thought? I'd bring back the Moose. Just don't care. Somebody, again, got onto us, and I will find out their name now. Bear with me. But Kerr scored three Dublin Derby winners. And when Kerr scores, we win. We're 4-for-4 when Kerr scores. Was he shafted not getting into that team of the year?
Here we're finally at this point. Yes. as was Harry, unbelievably shafted, I think. It's a bit silly.
Like, I know that particular one, the PFAI one, is obviously players' vote, so I don't know. That's why I find it strange he's not in it, but there's obviously Don't the Soccer Writers do one as well, so he probably has another kind of chance to be recognised there. He is very, very hard done by not to be in it. So is H, I would argue.
Kerr, unbelievable. Like, H, again, I will have to try and find your man who did it. I saw it on Twitter. It's Niall something or other. But, like, he did a whole thing basically breaking down all of H's stuff this season and how important he's been to us as basically progressive passer, getting us up the pitch. Like, you see it most weeks. Like, he's really evolved from what he was when he first was here. Like, he's there's more energy about him this season. Like, he has an engine. He's just around the pitch. He's picking up little pockets. He's occupying half spaces. He's making things happen. You see that in his goals and assists. So I think definitely, definitely hard done by to miss out. Like, he's a top, top player. He has been this season. Like, he's a player of month of the award under his belt. Like, I don't know what more you need to do.
Neither do I. Anyway, they're all spoofers and liars anyway. It was Sean Harris that said, his exact words were, McEnroy, the Dublin Derby fella, three Dublin Derby winners. Some return, and like no better way to liken yourself to a group of supporters than scoring winners in Dublin Derby is probably the best way to do it. Reds Independent said, I've had worse birthdays. Thank you, Shelburne Football Club. I'd love to see the mats on our good friend BC's like percentages of birthdays ruined versus made, I would say. This might be the only one.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the season as well. That's epoxy time to have a birthday. Just full of heartbreak.
I will say, just as we're talking about Kerr and H, I had one of the more sensible duties get on.
Yeah. Amusing.
Which one do you think it is? More sensible?
It's not fucking me anyway, that's for sure.
So which one do you think it is?
I would say it's Alan, because Paul doesn't fucking be at half the game, so he'd have some Nick commenting.
Yes, Kerr getting plenty of plaudits, and rightly so, but yet again, how good was John Martin?
That's true.
Like, at least one dude knows football.
Yeah, of course. Look, well, from my dad's point of view, he had three sons. One of them had to have some clue about something. Though he said Skonto, the new club mascot. Did you see all this stuff, Macedonia, Ben?
I did. I've seen.
I've yet to get a full explanation, but I think it's just a dog that followed them everywhere, pretty much. Marched to the stadium and all.
I saw something. They found one of the many stray dogs in the centre and walked him to the ground and walked into the ground and enjoyed the game by all accounts. So, I mean, yeah, I back it.
Yeah, look, we've had a Dulux dog before. Why not have a Scaldy homeless dog as well? Why not?
We've had hot dogs.
Sean Conlon said, haven't stopped laughing all week. Yeah, you and me both. Conor Latke, once again, Harry Wood comes up clutch. Kerr McEnroy, what player? Bit of a Scottish connection there. Rob Lenehan, Shelburne. I got an interesting, I actually got a couple of good messages off Balls fans, which I enjoyed. One of them, I can't read out the whole thing because, Jesus Christ, I just wouldn't read it out. But he starts off the message with, I hope you die in misery. So, yeah, I had a great weekend. Trisha Darcy, it still brings a joyful tear to my eye. My Balls fella was sick, to say the least. I mean,
sorry to hear.
But that's a happy house on Sunday evening, surely.
I did get one off a Balls fan. And he said, the arse fell out of our season like a dirty 3 a.m. kebab.
That's grim stuff. That's very, very grim.
Imagine liking your entire season to a dirty kebab at 3 a.m.
Davey Single said, am I alone and being okay losing to Pats? No, Shelbyville will miss out on Europe. Absolutely not. No chance. It's never okay to lose to Pats.
Hold on, they won't miss out on Europe. They play Schalke.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, look how that ended up. Europe is not for everyone, Ben. Viva La David, do you think we play a weakened side against Pats or try to keep the momentum running / get second? First of all, I know this is a real stock answer. I don't think there's a weakened side.
Like, especially not with all the European games to play. Like, people, you have to remember, want to be on the pitch for these games. Like, some huge games of football coming up.
Yes, and aside from that, if you finish second, which, look, I know you're relying on the small village to do us a favour in that regard, but if you finish second, that's Europa League spot, obviously providing Rovers go and win the cup. So, not an awful lot to play for. Like, it's not one of these ceremonial last games, you know, just show up and do your lap of honour at the end and go home. Like, there's still a lot at stake there for the players, and I know the manager mentioned it in his interview with Darren as well. So, no, absolutely no sign of letting up on Sunday, or on Saturday, I should say. What else have I got here?
Using all these games not on a Friday.
Yeah, it's a bit mad, isn't it? It is a bit mad. Although I like the idea of a half-hour Saturday kickoff. Plenty of beer time after. I got one. This message I enjoyed, Ben. Ryan said, I'm still on top of the Roosters van. I need help getting down. That man upset an awful lot of people on Sunday, and I was thoroughly enjoying it all. Thoroughly enjoying it. Right, Ben, the real business, the Richie Rankins. Now, I have been sent a Richie Rankin, and I have been aggressively told by this tyrant that I need to basically go in this direction. So he said to me, can somebody give Johnny Ward the Richie Winter for suggesting that Rovers are waiting on purpose to win the title when Pico is there?
Yeah, that kind of ruined my fucking selection, because if you look at it, I sent my notes app in straight after that and said this was in my notes app.
It's true.
Because that really bothered. Like, what do you mean they're waiting? They're not waiting to win the league. Johnny, what are you talking about?
It's a wild like, show.
He comes out with some crackers, but that, like, it was a real, like, head and hands moment. Shake the heavy. Like, what are you? No, what? Like, they're not doing it in solidarity. They had the champagne ready in Tala. You could see it.
Yeah, we seen it with our own eyes.
Yeah, you go into the media room to do your press conference, you look to your right, there's loads of crates of champagne, but I'm sure they were just waiting for Pico.
My Richie Winter, do I have one here? Yeah, it's actually Johnny Ward as well. I I mean, poor Johnny's been on the wrong end of this this award a few times this year, but he just does seem to have a bit of a dislike for the Reds at the moment. I don't know what it is. Now, he claims he doesn't, but he has repeatedly claimed that the only reason we won the league last year is because nobody else was as good as we were, which is that how leagues work.
Yeah.
So does that mean this year?
How did you win?
So how did Rovers win the league this year, I wonder? Same thing. That's nonsense. Anyway.
I will say, speaking of, briefly of Rovers, if that was any other team or any other manager in the league, be calls to be sacked. They're on a terrible run.
That's mental. They're winning 1-0 at the moment, actually, as we record. They're 1-0 up against Galway, so that'll finally seal it on a Wednesday evening as well. That's pretty grim. But their run has been horrific. Beaten in Derry, beaten by Celje, beaten by Pats, who were all over the shop. Beaten by us, obviously. Spanked by Sparta Prague. And then, obviously, the win against Kerry thrown in there. So, yeah, not great. Not great stuff, to be fair. But look, Richie Baker time. I just have to give it to Kerr. I know we're not supposed to give it to players anymore. But how could you not?
Kerr's made a lot of people, a lot of Reds, very, very happy. So you can't really argue with that. I'm going to give it. You've given it to a player. I won't give it to a player. I'll give it to a few more outside of that. I think Ryan Marin deserves it. definitely. Basically, Reds independent, Conor Latka. Any Red I saw put up a post mocking Bowles, they all made me laugh.
Oh, it was amazing.
I don't know who it was.
Oh, is this the Dublin Bus one?
The Dublin Bus one.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Like... two goals come at once, Dublin Bus tweet. Just amazing. Anyone that ripped the piss out of the man, rightfully so, you're my Richie Baker this week.
There was an unbelievable just amount of golden, and it was just unbelievable.
Quiva, Darren, myself, I think media wise, not to toot our own horns, but the Oasis videos, like
it was just such a happy Sunday evening into Monday. It was just so good. It was just so much stuff coming out that was brilliant. It just kept making me laugh.
Yeah,
I mean, you think back then, and again, I don't want to be that person, but over the last 10, 12 years, the amount of fucking misery. The amount of weekends ruined, weeks ruined, months ruined, seasons ruined. And then you get to have moments like that on Sunday. Just, unbelievable. And I don't even think we've mentioned it yet. The importance of securing the European spot has kind of got lost in all this, I think.
One thing I will say about securing the European spot, like a lot was said about, obviously, Duffer when he was here, about like, qualities that he has. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the manager's post-match interview.
I was there when it was happening, but that doesn't mean I was listening.
Yeah, it's just when he was asked about the European spots, you kind of, not that you expect, but you'd be like, yeah, look, obviously he's delighted, but he just turned around like, yeah, no, look, you're happy to get Europe, but no, it's not, like, we're looking at second, we're looking at pushing on, like,
yeah, it's not enough.
Answer 3 points, it's not enough. And I'm there, like, you take everything away, you look at it as, in a fan's perspective, as, at the end of the day, we are fans. You're lapping that up, you're like, oh yeah, here we go. Like, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. That's the kind of stuff that makes you want to run through a brick wall when the man speaks.
It does. Yeah. Actually, I have an honourable mention for a Richie Baker. Now, he's come for a bit of criticism recently on this pod. It's Kevin Doherty, but did you see his post-match interview talking about the last day, where he said, I have a few Shelburne jerseys hanging up at home, I'll have to get one on for the last day of the season. I would thoroughly enjoy if we beat Pats and Drogheda beat Bowles and Drogheda end up in Europe. I just think that would be so funny.
Yeah,
I'd be very happy for Kev Doherty, and I know we laughed here about them getting thrown out of Europe and stuff like that. Did we laugh? I definitely laughed privately. Whether I laughed on air or not, I don't know. But I'd love, just for Kev Doherty's sake, and there's a few other ex-Reds there that I'd be happy for to get to play in Europe. So
yeah, I think you should wear one of those Shell jerseys underneath his Drogheda jacket.
Imagine right. those scenes.
That would be unbelievable, goading.
It'd be perfect. Other bits and pieces, Ben, Owen Wearing gone. A surprise or very, very expected?
I just think it was a natural conclusion for me. That you look at the caliber of player he has there, he had available. I think they would not have been pleased with how this season has gone in particular. So I think it's come at the right time to freshen things up. I think he did what he could, but I just think it was a time for a change.
Yeah. Here. I think it's well wishes all around as well. I think some of the players and stuff took to Instagram. I don't think there's any ill will there or anything of the sort.
It was a natural conclusion to things. He did what he could and we're moving on.
It's
really straightforward there. I think I don't think there's anything to read into there. I don't think, like, as you said, players have wished him well. We wish him well. And yeah, I look forward to seeing what he's doing. But more importantly, I look forward to see that side excel again next season.
Yeah.
And really on, because I know, and you know yourself, Doody, they wouldn't have been happy with this season.
No, absolutely not. And look, I suppose as well, there'd be no shortage of suitors for that job either. You know, I'm sure there's people banging the door down. So, yeah, watch this space. Look, last league game of the season on Saturday, home to Pats, 4:30 kickoff. The potential to do something very funny and cost Bowes and Pats some back-to-back weeks of place in Europe. While that may not be a motivator for the players, I think for our supporters it most definitely is. So here's hoping. As I mentioned at the start of the pod, we're going to go to every second week recording, basically. I should actually apologise for not being here last week. It was one of them weeks, just didn't work. We couldn't catch each other at the right time. So, but look, it all ended up okay in the end. So it'll be every second week going forward.
Yeah, with the way European games are going, you're basically going to have to listen to us till Christmas now. So
yeah, exactly. So we'll spare you a week in between. We'll go every second week recording. So we'll basically review the European games.
That just means more than likely it'll be a heavy question box the week of game, so we remember.
Yes. And we'll also talk about whatever shit you want us to talk about. No problem.
Yeah, look, it's an exciting time.
Sure is. Ben, thank you very much.
No problem at all. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. Say the word.
I'm going to stick with up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.